What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Got any plans for Sunday? Yeah, it's football time. One last time until the fall. Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath, all four of us here to take a look at Super Bowl 56, give you our predictions, give you some fantasy talk, some notes you need to know getting into the game here, bets, all those types of things. It's our big Super Bowl 56 preview. Yeah! All right, yeah. Who's level of excitement for the game? Just the way you think it's going to play out. You know, some games you're more excited about than others. Jamie, 0 to 10.
10, it's a Super Bowl.
Oh, I knew we were going to get, I think probably all, Dave is going to answer that as well. Heath will give
I'm not going to answer 10.
More cynical answer. All right, what do you got?
I'm not at 10.
Okay, where are you?
7. I'm excited for the game. Okay. Looking forward to it.
Heath.
This is the least excited I've been for a Super Bowl in 3 years.
There we go. Do we think it's going to be a good game? Do we think it's going to be a great game?
I'd be surprised by great. I think we saw that 3 weeks ago.
All-time Super Bowl, probably not. Good that you'll remember it 5 years from now, yes.
I can't remember what the score was that I predicted for Rams-Buccaneers 3 weeks ago, a month ago. But I know it was a blowout, and that's kind of how I feel about this game, too. I think the Rams' defensive line is just going to dominate the Bengals up front.
I was looking at some notes from last year. I wanted to find the stat. Patrick Mahomes was pressured 29 times. That was the most in Super Bowl history. There was another part of that stat, though, and it was, I want to say they blitzed 4 or 5 times in the entire game. The other thing I saw, though, is that the Chiefs used their, this is last year's Super Bowl, they used just 5 linemen on 92% of their dropbacks, according to Next Gen Stats by Zebra Technologies. I'm just reading straight off of notes from a year ago. Hopefully the Bengals have a better game plan than that. The Chiefs just did not adjust last year. They used 5 linemen on 92% of their dropbacks, and it led to the most pressures of a quarterback in Super Bowl history.
When you say 5 linemen, you mean no blocking tight end? Like strictly 5 guys up front?
That's what the Chiefs used, just their 5 linemen on 92% of Mahomes' dropbacks.
Okay. So they didn't leave a back end to protect. They didn't leave a tight end in to protect.
But if they're only rushing 4, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean they should have.
You shouldn't have to. Yeah.
You should, but if you're getting your butt kicked every snap.
Well, I mean, you know, they were stuck. You know, I mean, they're stuck with backups.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough, I think that makes a good point too. That's a tough thing. Like if you're getting your butt kicked with 4 against 5, you're gonna leave a 6th in as well and now have fewer guys out in the route.
Right.
Well, if the 6th is a running back, if it's a running back, I don't know if I necessarily have a problem with it because the running back could always chip and then go out in a route.
Chips. The other note I wanted to bring up from last year, this one's just fun, yeah. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and Antonio Brown combined for 62 yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill combined for 206 yards, and Tampa Bay won by 22 points. So you never know.
Is this the last year's Super Bowl?
No, we're moving on now. Moving on now. I just wanted to find some fun things. All right, so one quick news item. Jacksonville's hiring Press Taylor as their offensive coordinator, but Doug Peterson.
You should just go look up stats from when the Ravens beat the Giants in Super Bowl. Just throw some
right.
Press Taylor. Well, look, obviously I brought up the pressure thing for a reason, because we think...
How many times did the Ravens pressure in that game?
Kerry
How
Collins?
Many offensive points from the Giants in that game?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Three, I think.
Three? All right, so anyway, Jacksonville hired an offensive coordinator. It doesn't matter because Doug Peterson is going to call the plays.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers won the MVP for the second straight year.
I think he's staying. I think it's retirement or Green Bay. From what he said last night.
I don't care about that. I want to talk about last year's Super Bowl. But for this year's Super Bowl, are there any fantasy angles you're looking at in this game? Anything that might actually change your outlook for fantasy going into next year?
I think the main one is Cam Akers. Does he break a couple of long runs? Does he maybe have some actual success on the ground? Is he more efficient than Sony Michel? All of those things would make me feel better about Cam Akers in round two next year. If we have another game where he goes 13 for 39 and Sony Michel goes 6 for 40 or something, then I think we'll have plenty to talk about this offseason. The other one would be Odell Beckham. I think if the Bengals just make every effort to take away Cooper Kupp and Beckham has one of those big blow-up games, then it could really impact his free agency and it could impact his ADP next year.
Jamie, how about you from a fantasy standpoint? What are you looking at?
Heath nailed the two most prominent ones. I think though, it's going to be interesting to see if Akers doesn't have a big workload because of the shoulder or whatever the reason, how that may sway some things the other way. Because Michelle's a free agent, so I don't expect him to be back. I can't imagine that's a position they're going to invest in after having Akers back, still having Henderson under contract. Michelle probably earned more money than the money they want to give him. So, that's an interesting one, or the scenario there. And then, I think from the Beckham situation, Heath nailed it that, where does he go? Because unless they make the decision to bring him back as a very expensive third receiver, with Woods returning and Kupp obviously being Kupp, that's it's probably his last hurrah with the Rams. I kind of want to see, if Higgins has another big game. We've had this conversation. Adam, you weren't a part. Both Adam and Dave weren't a part of when we did our projections for 2022 with Heath and Chris. Mm-hmm. And the conversation where it went with T. Higgins, where Chris is very high on T. Higgins, has him as a top 10 receiver. And I don't think that's like so crazy. I know when we talked on Monday, and Dave said, and I think reflects more of where Heath has him in the teens. I think that's where most people are probably approaching T. Higgins. But if he has another, 6 for 90, scores a touchdown, and you kind of take a look at really what the body of work was for him this season, if it's another big game, should he be closer to 10? Should he be closer to being in the top 10, especially, with where Mike Evans is with a new quarterback, where, some of the, I don't want to go through every example, but where some of these other receivers are and what he is tied to that quarterback. And for how long he's going to be tied to that quarterback, it might be something that Chris is ahead of, and rightfully so.
Dave, any other fantasy storylines?
Hello, the quarterbacks. This is going to be their lasting impression going into the offseason. And I know that Burrow is the hottest name right now, and I'm sure there are people that have designs on making Burrow their fantasy starter next year. But if he goes out and he lays an egg in the Super Bowl against a tough matchup, then I think some people will have some reservations about doing such a thing. Same thing with Stafford. Maybe not the same thing with Stafford. It might be the inverse with Stafford, because I don't think anybody's looking at Stafford as a guy they got to get in fantasy. There isn't as much hype around him. They know what they get with him year after year. But if he goes out and he has a monster game, well, then people might say, hey, Matthew Stafford's someone that I wouldn't mind having as my fantasy quarterback. It might even make a push to make him my mid-round QB. I'll let everybody else in my league take quarterbacks early on. I'm going to target Matthew Stafford in the middle rounds. And the reality is that they're going to be able to do that anyway. But people might be more focused on Stafford if he wins the Super Bowl, gets the MVP, makes the Hall of Fame, et cetera, et cetera. The one other point that I'll tell you about Beckham, we're thinking it's a sure thing that Robert Woods will be back in LA. And I know that they love Robert Woods. There's no question about it. But they save $10 million against the cap if they cut him after June 1st. And he's 30 years old coming off of a torn ACL. So it would be cruel but they could possibly look at Odell as an upgrade over Robert Woods at this point. Odell doesn't do all the same things that Robert Woods does, but Woods doesn't do some of the things that Odell does. That'll be an interesting question for the Rams to deal with after this game.
They could keep all of them. I mean, they're going to have the money for it because they're losing DeSean Jackson. The Jared Goff's contract comes off the books. They're going to have probably some decisions to make at the offensive line. And so I think I saw something that they're going to get like $30 million in cap space, you know, from the guys, the contracts that are coming off the books from this year. So they could conceivably keep all of them, which would be probably a little frustrating for even Cooper Kupp, but for Woods and Beckham, certainly. But that was their plan. I mean, you know, we don't know how this would have all played out had Woods stayed healthy, because it was 2 days after acquiring Odell Beckham, Woods tore his ACL. So,
okay. I'm seeing something completely differently. I see that they're $15 million over the cap. Without Jackson, without Goff.
I'll see if I find the story that I saw.
But I'm looking at overthecap.com. Stafford's got a $23 million cap savings if they cut him. They're not going to do that. They're deep in the hole with Ramsey, with Aaron Donald, with Cooper Kupp, with Leonard Floyd. I don't think they're going to cut any of those guys. Andrew Whitworth comes off the books. That's $15 million right there. So they're immediately out of cap hell if Whitworth retires. But they save plenty of money if they let go of Robert Woods. They save a little bit more with guys like A'shaun Robinson. Tyler Higbee could be a cap casualty. They've got some work to do, but they're not in such bad shape.
Heath, what did you want to go back to?
I want to go back to the gap in the quarterbacks that Dave suggested about how people are. And I think it's probably right in terms of perception. But in terms of rankings and projections, I'm like probably going to have these guys back to back. They're going to be
Stafford.
Like they're almost exactly the same guy for me. They were almost exactly the same guy this season. I think Stafford was at 24 fantasy points per game. Burrow was at 23.8. And so if that's true, that there's a big gap in their ADP or a big gap in their project or the interest in people having him, I am going to draft a lot more Matthew Stafford than Joe Burrow this year.
Rappaport on January 30th. The contracts of the salaries of Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Michael Brockers, and DeSean Jackson come off the books for 2022, clearing $39 million for the Rams.
Okay.
I think that's, yeah.
I think
he worded that poorly because that doesn't make them $39 million under the cap.
Right.
No, but it clears off the salaries off their books for next season.
Right, but what I'm looking at already had those salaries off the books. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. They're not like the Packers or the Saints where they're just going to have to make some really difficult choices with their cap.
By the way, I think when you look at Burrow versus Stafford, the rushing yards are a question here because Stafford is, you know, 1 to 2 rushing, maybe 4 rushing yards per game. This year he was 1.3. Usually he's 3 to 4 rushing yards per game. Am I seeing that right? Or no, I'm sorry. I'm looking at per carry.
Well, yeah, he had 43 rushing yards in the season, so I think you're pretty much right.
This year, yeah, he's better than that in previous years, but that he was 7 rushing yards per game in 2020, 8.3 in 2019, but this year only 1.3 rushing yards per game. That's pretty interesting, actually. It's a huge drop. But Burrow, I think, has a lot more rushing potential. We didn't really see it this year until late in the year, but I do believe that the ACL injury had a lot to do with that because he ran, he averaged 14 yards per game as a rookie. And I think he ran a little bit in college too. So, does that factor in here? Especially if you see, you know, a 30 rushing yard performance in this Super Bowl as he's running for his life or something like that. You know, I mean, does that factor in when you look at Stafford versus Burrow?
I think the case for that would be that Burrow could run more now that he's a year removed from the injury and that they protected him this year and didn't want him to run very much. And maybe we'll see him be a little bit more mobile next year. And I think that would be the case for Burrow being better than he was this year. But I've talked about this for the last week and a half, but the case that Burrow is probably going to need that to be as good unless they see a big increase in volume because his yards per attempt and his touchdown rate are almost certainly going to regress from this year.
Yeah, he was basically the best passer in football. He was rated that way by Pro Football Focus. He was first in a lot of, you know, big-time statistical categories. He's the most accurate quarterback. So, great year for Burrow. And let's get into some fill-in-the-blank for Super Bowl 56. First, I do want to tell you about our schedule for next week. on Monday night, or on Sunday night, rather. We're going to recap the Super Bowl for FFT and 5. That'll drop in both feeds, FFT and 5 and Fantasy Football Today. Monday, we'll have the full Super Bowl recap, plus outlooks for the Rams and the Bengals in 2022. Tuesday is going to be buy or sell for some 2021 second half finishes. I'm sure we'll talk about DK Metcalf on the bad end, and who's on the good end? Who jumps out as having a great finish? Rashad Penny? We can stick with Hunter the Seahawks. Renfro. Hunter Renfro, sure. Thursday, we're going to find 10 crazy stats from 2021 and talk about them on Thursday's show. So we'll have three full-length episodes for you next week. And yes, get excited. The Early Edge is your go-to source for all things gambling, and that's ahead of the Bengals, Rams, and all throughout the year. Early Edge is a great podcast from Sportsline. You got Sportsline's top handicappers going live every day to bring you information about the latest line movement and their favorite picks and props for the Super Bowl. And they're going live 2 hours before kickoff on Sunday to dish out and recap all their favorite bets given throughout the week. So join the Early Edge Watch Party as our guys give live betting analysis and up-to-date in-game wagers. Tune in at youtube.com/sportsline. 2 hours before kickoff on Sunday, youtube.com/sportsline, the Early Edge. They're live throughout the game as well to give you live bets and things like that. Let's do some fill in the blank. Okay, the Rams will win the Super Bowl if blank, Dave.
The Rams will win the Super Bowl if they can emulate what the Bucs did to the Chiefs last year. They can get pressure with just four guys up front consistently and turn Joe Burrow into a scaredy cat.
Jamie, the Rams will win the Super Bowl if blank.
The Bengals bus doesn't leave the hotel.
Interesting.
Wow.
No, I mean, the Rams win the Super Bowl if Stafford plays the way he's been playing in the playoffs. The defense continues to show up, and they find a way to get some more consistent opportunities on the ground.
Heath?
I'm going to be simpler. The Rams win the Super Bowl if they don't turn the ball over.
That's a big deal for them.
Yeah.
His interceptions, it's just sometimes he just has these really bad games, Stafford. Yeah, just gets kind of loose with the ball.
Sometimes it's really good games, and he just makes two insanely not smart plays.
Like, when's the last bad game, though, since that Ravens game?
No, he's been on fire. He's got one interception in the playoffs.
Sure, but the Rams haven't played a clean game since when?
What does that mean? No turnovers?
No turnovers, no, you know.
Probably Arizona.
Back three and outs or anything like that.
I mean, they beat the crap out of Arizona in the wild card game.
Well, that was his interception, though, right? Did he throw a pick in that game?
No.
He did against the
Tampa Bay.
He only threw 17 passes. He threw only one interception. It was against the 49ers.
Last week.
And fumbles, he has not fumbled in the playoffs. He has not fumbled.
No, but they had the botch snap against Tampa, and Akers fumbled twice against Tampa. It's not about Stafford. It's more about just the team in general putting together a clean, smooth game. Haven't seen that.
Okay.
Except Arizona, you've seen it.
Okay,
before then, they didn't have a lot of them.
Yeah, Cincinnati will win the Super Bowl if, Heath. Cincinnati will win the Super Bowl if.
They can... the Rams do turn the ball over.
Exactly.
Well, what if the Bengals need to do other than force turnovers?
I really don't think if the Rams play their best game, the Bengals can win the Super Bowl. I think the Rams are considerably better than the Bengals.
So let's rewind to 2 weeks ago. What happened? The Chiefs didn't play their best game?
The Monstars stole the talent of Patrick Mahomes at halftime. The Chiefs were up 21-3 at halftime. They were destroying Cincinnati. Cincinnati dropped 8 into coverage, rushed 3. It was brilliant. The defensive coordinator did a brilliant job. The Chiefs didn't adjust. And the Bengals made some great plays in the second half. But, I don't think if – man, I'm –
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, let's give them a little bit of credit.
Honestly, if we were doing a power rankings of the team a month ago or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, the Bengals were not in the top 5 of that power rankings ever. Nobody, I know they've won some games and they've been hot and they might stay hot and win one more, but I just don't, they're not near as good as the Rams.
It's the turnovers. It's all about the turnovers. I mean, they turned over Ryan Tannehill 3 times, the 2 interceptions against Mahomes, you know, both those games on the road. They have more interceptions than touchdowns allowed passing wise. And so, you know, their secondary is playing great. And can they do it one more time? Can they get to Stafford and rattle him? Can they protect Burrow? I mean, it's been kind of their formula for success so far. It's not like they're running the ball very well.
Well, I wouldn't say it's their formula for success because they gave up 9 sacks against the Titans, and they still won. They've been able to overcome their deficiencies. I think their formula for success...
They protected him great against the Chiefs.
Yeah. I think their formula for success is Lou Anarumo is making incredible halftime adjustments. It's the last... Check out That's this it. Stat. Their last 8 games... Heath mentioned it against the Chiefs, but since their bye, in their last 8 games... They are tied for 4th, all in the second half. Second half stats, tied for 4th in sacks, 5th in points, and 8th in red zone defense. That's from The Athletic. And meanwhile, you've got Sean McVay, who's lost 1 game in his career when he's leading at halftime. And that was week 18 against the 49ers, an overtime loss. So they're making great defensive adjustments. It's
well, been yeah, huge. Yes. They've won 3 playoff games, each by 1 score. And they've turned the ball over twice, and they've generated 7 turnovers. Like, that's it. If the turnover battle is even, they might lose all 3 of those games.
Maybe. I don't know that we're giving them enough credit.
You're not. We're not.
Okay, go ahead, Dave. Tell me why the Bengals are better than he thinks.
They play great as a team. They are schemed very well. They're very willing to drop a bunch of guys into coverage and to make it hard on a team throwing the football. And the question becomes, are the Rams going to not make the mistake that the Chiefs made? And are they going to be willing to run the ball? And if they are willing to run the ball and they can do it more effectively, and I think we can all agree that they have the opportunity to be more effective and efficient than they have been against the 49ers and the Bucs and those tough run defenses, then the Rams should be able to find a way to win this game in the second half and fend off Cincinnati, who certainly is a second half team. I'm sure their offensive stats in the second half are also very good. They adjust well on offense in the second half. So I think that they're well coached, and I think that they play very well cohesively. When it comes to defensive scheme, they can play it all. They can do everything from man to all the different variations of zone, whereas the Rams are far more comfortable playing that zone coverage defense. And I think that makes them less predictable and a little bit tougher to beat.
They've been outgained in total yardage in every single playoff game they've played so far. Their opponents have more first downs than they do. Okay. Like, it's just the turnovers.
But it's also, they have Jamar Chase, they have Joe Mixon, they have T. Higgins.
Jamar Chase shows up in the total yards, everything that he does.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think you're missing the Bengals' magic here.
Bengals' magic is that they're getting turnovers and not turning the ball over.
Well, it's also, you mentioned it, Joe Burrow's had a magical season, you know, so he's got to have that one more time. He's got to avoid the turnover. You know, he had 2 interceptions against the Titans. Thankfully, they got 3 from Ryan Tannehill. So, you know, can he avoid making mistakes, which so far he's been pretty good at? Can they protect him? Can they, you know, get to Stafford and make him into that turnover prone quarterback that we saw at times during the season? Now, he hasn't really had that at home. I think he's got 7 interceptions at home in 10 games. So he's been better there. That's their building. Are they going to be able to stop the run? Both sides, really. I mean, you know, we haven't really seen dominant running performances from either team in a long time. It's been since November, since Joe Mixon over 100 yards rushing. He's been great catching the ball, but we've seen the Rams run struggles. Now, granted, that's Tampa Bay and San Francisco back to back in the playoffs, and Arizona's run defense was pretty good as well. But it's going to come down to who makes the most mistakes. It's just that simple.
You know what?
In the second half of games, Adam.
Yeah.
Second half, this is the regular season and postseason combined. The Bengals are 3rd in offensive points scored per game in the NFL. They are 4th in yards per play, 5.95, 6th in yards per game. And this includes overtime. They are 29th in sacks per pass attempt, 28th in interceptions. They are a much, much better. Oh, and they're 2nd best in 4th down conversions in the second half. So I think this is just, the game won't get really started until you come back from watching that dope halftime show. And we settle in for the last 2 quarters of football. That's when the game begins.
Unless the Rams just have a huge lead by that point, then it's done.
Like 21-3?
No.
Yeah, but this is a different defense and a different coach.
You have to wonder, I mean, how good is the Rams defense? Because they're 15th in points allowed. And no, Heath, I don't know if that includes the Matthew Stafford pick sixes, and it's a great question. They're seventh in yards per play allowed, which is really good, but it's not first. It's not second. It's a great defense, and it's a tough matchup because obviously the Bengals' offensive line is a big weakness. And I just saw a stat on HQ this morning. Since the Von Miller trade to the Rams, the two leaders in the NFL in tackles for a loss are Von Miller and Aaron Donald. So, I mean, it's a really bad matchup in that regard, and I think everybody's really nervous about that. But this is not the 2000 Ravens. You know, this is not... I don't even know if they're as good as the way the Bucs were playing at the end of last year. So I think they're very good defense, but I don't think they're an impenetrable defense that the Bengals can't solve. And, you know, Dave, you were talking about Higgins going over the props. You know, you got what the matchup you were looking at. If Ramsey plays against Chase, you've got Higgins with a huge size advantage on Darius Williams.
Yep, over Darius Williams. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Heath has inspired me to change my pick.
Good, excellent.
I'm changing my pick.
This is the way it's supposed to work.
I'll give my pick in a second, but I had it at one thing. I'm gonna give another touchdown to a different team, and I'm gonna ride the magic. But let's go. Fill in the blank. Blank will win the Super Bowl, and the score will be blank. Heath.
Well, I was gonna say Rams 34-20, but now I feel like I've painted myself into a corner. So 34-10 Rams.
Okay. And give your MVP as well.
Jalen Ramsey, pick six.
Ah, okay. Jamie, final score and MVP.
27-24 Rams, Stafford MVP.
Dave.
Jamie stole mine. It's going to be right around the same. I'll say 24-20. And Stafford MVP. Rams win.
I think this is actually legit.
I think I went 24-20.
I really have talked myself into picking the Bengals. I believe in the magic. I had it 24-21. I'm giving another touchdown to the Bengals, a late touchdown. 28-24, Cincinnati wins. And I have in my notes Cooper Kupp MVP. I'm definitely going to have to change that. Let's just go with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow MVP. I'm so worried about Cooper Kupp though for my Bengals here. I'm worried about Aaron Donald up front and my all that. Bengals. But Kupp, I think could have 150 yards.
Sent a tweet out after you goaded me into saying so many bad things about the Bengals, apologizing to Bengals fans before they hear the podcast. But you are the one who should have apologized now. You just mushed them.
I don't have any. I believe in them, and I'm just gonna. I've believed in them since about 3 minutes ago, and I'm not wavering from that. I do have a money line bet as part of the Heath the five prop parlay that I made a few days ago. Bengals money line.
Wait a minute. You've got a parlay bet with the Bengals money line, and after yesterday, you've got a parlay bet with the Rams money line.
Yeah. The parlay.
What kind of a better are you?
It's a combined $15 of betting. The five prop parlay is plus 4,000. So that's the one I really want to hit.
Yeah, you're gonna root for that one.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of things to root for. Okay, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll read some of your emails, and basically that's it. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And I'm going to go to our inbox and see what we've got. I know we have some dynasty questions here. Ooh, here's one that says, dynasty question for Heath.
Oh.
From Daniel. I don't have Twitter, so I can't message Heath directly. But my main question is, am I competing for a championship like the Rams, or am I rebuilding like the Bengals? I started up a dynasty league last year. It is a league of 8 newbies to dynasty, but we're all pretty savvy with football and baseball. And they did a salary cap draft. So, okay, he finished in last place with bad luck and late bloomers. He has a young team. Heath, what do you think he should do? Should he stay the course? Should he tinker? Here's his projected starting lineup in a half PPR, 4 point per passing touchdown league. It gets easier from here. Listen to the core of this team and tell him what he should do, okay?
Mega Super Bowl preview.
Burrow.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Swift and Javonte Williams. Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, AJ Brown, Mike Gesicki, and Superflex, Justin Fields.
Is this an 8-team league?
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Okay.
So he's got Burrow and Fields at quarterback and Superflex. He has Swift and Javonte. He has Jefferson, Chase, and Brown, AJ Brown, and he has Gesicki at tight end. He also has Travis Etienne. He has Michael Carter. Not a great bench other than that. Hollywood Brown, Michael Pittman, Jerry Jeudy. Oh, and he has Elijah Moore and Kadarius Toney. So bad at tight end, though. Anyway, what would you
Didn't
do with
have
this
every
team?
Draft pick last year?
Yeah. He went young.
Is it a 6-team league? I think you should be competing for it. The thing is, you're so young that whether you are competing for a championship or not.
You don't think that's a championship caliber team, Jamie?
In an 8-team league?
Yeah. He's got three top 10
receivers.
Got
a lot of things break right there.
What's he missing?
Fields? Well, I mean, in an 8-team league, I don't know if Justin Fields is the best super flex.
Yeah. No, you need another quarterback and you need a tight end, but he has hopefully two top 12 running backs and two top 5 wide receivers.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I say you go for it until it's clear that you're not going to win the league and then you tank.
Well, there's no tanking because you've got 17. I mean, I guess you could start Marquise Brown and Michael Pittman.
No, he had worse players than that. I just didn't read them.
Okay.
That's a great dynasty team, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Go get you a tight end. Go get you a second quarterback. Go win the league.
This is a good draft coming up. It's going to have a lot of tight ends in it.
Yeah. Got an email.
I would probably try to go get a veteran because I don't think any of these rookies are going to help you win a championship this year. But maybe.
Yeah, he's got enough young players where he can go get a veteran somewhere.
I'd like to know how he built this team, though, because that's quite impressive with all the young rookies from last year.
He built that team on rock and roll. This is from Steve. Okay, he needs help with the running backs on his team. 14-team PPR quarterback, Superflex Dynasty League. He's got the 5th and the 14th picks in the rookie draft. And, okay, should I try any of these 4 trades? Give up 5th and 14th for Javonte Williams. Give up 5th and 14th for DeAndre Swift. Give up 5th and 14th for J.K. Dobbins or for Jalen Hurts. It is a super flex league. So he also has the 29th pick and a 3rd and a 4th round pick in a 14-team league. Would you give up your 2 first round picks, 5th and 14th overall, PPR, 14-team super flex, for either Javonte Williams, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, or Jalen Hurts?
Any of the first 3 running backs, yes. I might try to see if they'd throw in a 2023 pick, but if they won't, I would give up those two picks for any of the first three running backs.
There's no chance I would do it for Dobbins, but for the other two, yes.
Right. I was about to say, do you counter just first you counter and say, I'll give you 14 for Dobbins. They'll say no to that. And then you say, all right, I'll give you 5 for Dobbins. Then you get to hang on to 14 at least.
Yeah, I don't have a big difference between, I mean, there is a difference. And he would be my third favorite, I think, but there's not, not a huge difference for me.
Would you give up the picks for Swift?
He said, 100%. Yeah. Everybody said yes on that.
Yeah, I think I would too. And I think I would for Javonte as well.
Jamie, why were you so adamant no on Dobbins?
Oh, I mean, I don't think the situation for Dobbins coming into this year is better than what was coming to last year. You know, he's coming off an ACL. They still have Gus Edwards. I saw a couple of mock drafts that have them actually taking a running back in the second round. And you heard what the general manager said, that they're hopeful that they'll return. And I think they kind of learned the lesson that they might add to that room a little bit. So Dobbins makes me a little bit nervous going into next season.
Okay, this is from Corey. Thinking about my converting my redraft league to a keeper league. How many keepers? How many years? Which rounds? Thank you as always.
I'd start with 2. And then if everybody likes it, you can move from there.
Now, are we keeping players on the existing team, or are we starting anew? Drafting anew with keepers.
You got to draft anew.
Yeah.
Okay. So then do you like round compensation? You know, do you like it moves up 2 rounds? One round a year? Yep. What do you do? What do you like, Dave?
I like 2 rounds. You move up 2 rounds each year for each pick. And then once you've got somebody that you're keeping for a first or a second round pick, you cannot keep them any longer at that price. They go back in the player pool the following year.
Who would be the best value in a league like that from last year? The latest pick.
Elijah Mitchell.
Mitchell was probably picked up off the waiver wire. So you have to set up a rule for what waiver wire guys count as.
What should that rule be?
The last round pick, or are they a mid round pick?
Some do last round, some do like round 8. Yeah.
Right. We do round 11.
Now, follow up question. If someone drafts a player in round 5, drops the player, and then you pick him up as a free agent, do you keep him as a round 5 player or a whatever you've designated a free agent?
In my league, wherever the player is initially acquired, that sticks with him all year. So he would be a third round pick next year.
Yeah, in my league, if he's dropped, you can pick him up as a free agent and keep him for a last round pick.
Yeah, I don't play in a league like that. So, recapping our Super Bowl picks, Heath 34-10 Rams with Ramsey as the MVP. Obviously ridiculous.
I was pretty Ramsey today.
Yeah, you were. Jamie 27-24 Rams, Stafford. Dave 24-20 Rams, Stafford. My initial pick was 24-21 with Cup, but then Heath fired me up and I gave the Bengals a game-winning touchdown, 28-24 Bengals and Joe Burrow.
Who scores the touchdown?
Who scores it? Joe Burrow on a 15-yard scramble. Now, here's my bold prediction. This game is going to be decided on the final play. It is going to come down to the final play of the game. It will be some type of walk-off. It doesn't have to be a walk-off necessarily. It could be somebody getting stopped at the goal line, but it's going to be decided on the final play. It will be fitting for what has been the most dramatic and one of the best NFL seasons of all time.
It brings me to my favorite stat for this game, and it's really a stat about the Bengals. They've played 20 games this year. 17 of the 20 games have either been a Bengals win or a Bengals loss by 3 points or fewer. And one of the games that they lost by more than 3 points was the Week 18 garbage game against Cleveland. Mm. And you throw that one out, and it's only 2 games this year where they've lost by 4+ points.
And they are
playing close.
What's that, Heath? About 3-3? With Jalen Ramsey getting that pick 6. Thank you guys very much. Great preview, great content. We'll talk to you after the game on Fantasy Football Today in 5. Actually, we have more Fantasy Football Today in 5 coming up. We have props from Jacob Gibbs and Chris Towers that's going to drop on Saturday and Sunday. Don't forget to watch The Early Edge on youtube.com/sportsline beginning 2 hours before the game and continuing throughout the game. One more thing I forgot to do. I just want to get an update on the Twitter poll from yesterday. If you could only have one at your Super Bowl party, would it be pizza or wings? And with 1,600 votes, wings
By a nose, 53% to 47%. A big nose, I guess.
I asked my family. Everybody in my family said wings. It's like they're not even related to me.
Are you having pizza or wings, Dave?
We're going to probably end up having both because I'm fat, but pizza would be my preferred choice.
So Dave will go against his entire family if he had to make this choice. And
what are you having, Adam?
I think wings for sure. I'm not catering, so it's not really up to me. But I'm going to bring a special homemade dip, and it's going to be a bowl of raisins as a practical joke. So everybody feels about that.
Hold on, but Heath, you're the master here. What are you cooking up for Super Bowl Sunday?
I don't know if I'm a master. Wings. I've got 12 pounds of wings and a pair,
12
pair
pounds,
of 5 or 6 pound pork butts. So I've got about 20 to 24 pounds of meat and bone.
Man,
and,
how many people?
Have some different, fix them all in the smoker, have some different flavors of wings.
How many people are we talking about here, Heath?
I would estimate around 15, maybe 16, 20.
21.
So about a pound of meat per person. That's a lot of meat.
Well, no, there's some bone in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Adam, hit the music because
we're not having chicken nuggets.
What music am I hitting? The porn music?
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, hold on. Dave is thinking about food right now. Enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. We'll talk to you right after the game.
Meat at the grill, smoke in the air. Football on TV.
Every man's fantasy. Later, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.